At least 30 people with albinism have been killed in Tanzania since March, including a 7-month-old baby. Albinos are people who have little or no pigment in their eyes, skin, or hair. They've been targeted in the series of killings because of a belief that their body parts can make magic potions more effective. In April, as part of a government campaign against the killings, a former airline clerk called Alshema Kwegir was appointed to be Tanzania's first MP with albinism. 7 months into the role, she told Ritala Shah about the current situation in her country.
2 years, the killings are continuing. Before, many years back, when albino was born, was killed instantly. But at the moment, they're killing them. They need their body parts. They say that they will get wealth through our body parts, which is very, very rude. It's a rudeness.
Who do you think is behind these ideas? Where are these ideas coming from?
Myself, I ask this question. Questions arise in my head. Who is behind this thing? Who? This person must be very strong. Because wherever the president speaks about these killings, they kill an albino. Myself, I'm worrying. That question I ask myself every day. Who is behind this thing? Who helps? I ask me myself so many questions every day. Every day.
But you have no answers.
I have no answers. No answer. I'm asking myself, who is behind this? This rude person, evil person, who is killing people every day, cutting their hands. Like a woman who was cut their hands. They cut their hands alive. She was in her room, sleeping. They entered and cut the first hand and started to cut another. How rude these people are.
How does this make you feel as a very high-profile person with albinism? Do you feel afraid for yourself?
We all albinos live with a stress in our faces for an unknown future. That's how we are. Wherever you walk on the road, you feel that someone will hunt for you. Someone is hunting behind that. That is money moving there. Because they say that we are money. Millions of money are in our bodies. Therefore, they are hunting behind us. And I don't know who is behind me, hunting for me. Any day, he can do anything. Therefore, there is stress in our faces. Wherever you see an albino on the road, hiding in the house, anywhere, stress in the face. There is stress.
Was it always like this? When you were growing up, did you feel frightened, or was it okay to be a little bit different?
When I was young, it was a little bit different. I knew I was called names, being abused, discriminated, stigmatized, but there was no stress like at the moment. At the moment, another enemy is around, because our enemy normally is sun. But there is second enemy, the killers. Therefore, stress on the faces at the moment. Before, when I was young, I didn't have such a stress. People were just calling me names, which I didn't care. I knew they'll call me names and they'll go away. But at the moment, an evil will come and kill me.
The current enemy, from what you say, is unknown.
Those killers.
Is there any way to protect albino people in Tanzania then from this unknown enemy?
The protection, which is community security, the police and the people in the society, to be together, to look after albinos in a certain area, in a district, in a village. Wherever one albino miss, we have to know where she or he is.
You described that you experienced prejudice when you were growing up. If those attitudes remain, do you think there is that willingness amongst ordinary people to protect albinos?
Some of the people are willing, some. There are people who are taking care of the albinos because certain things have happened that a lady wanted to be killed by a machete. They wanted to cut the head. But people in the society ran after that man. They beat him until nearly death. But the police took that person. At the moment he's in the hospital, he wanted to kill an albino girl. He was a miner. He's a miner coming from the mining area. He wanted the legs, the hands for the mining.
Is it possible to know how many people with albinism there are in Tanzania?
Approximately 170,000. That is according to WHO. But at the moment, the census are going on. We really don't have the actual number, but I think we are more, or maybe less, because they're killing them. Since I was nominated to be an MP, I was preoccupied in mobilizing fellow friends with similar conditions with albinism, so that we have a platform to voice out our problems to the nation, to international community, because at the moment I'm talking to you from London, you are from the BBC in London. People outside are hearing about this. We really, really need support from people all over. Ourselves, we can't. The police, they are doing their job, I believe, and I thank them, but I need them to be more and more serious about this, because every day people are killed, every day people are cut their hands. These things are continuing.
And just finally, in your position, what, if anything, would you like to see happen?
The people with albinism, they need support in education, in health, empowerment. If they be empowered, they can live like any other people. So long they are together, they can do something. They can support themselves. They can live like any other people, helpfully, in their peaceful country, Tanzania.
That was Alshaima Kwegia talking to Ritala Shah. Alshaima is Tanzania's first MP with albinism. We're joined now by Robin Spinks, who is Vice President of the Albinism Fellowship based in the UK and Ireland. Robin, I know you've travelled to a number of African countries to look into this problem. Is it happening outside Tanzania as well?
We've got evidence that the problems mentioned in your report are, in fact, similar to the situation in other East African countries, and in fact, further afield. So we've recently seen coverage of Tanzania, Kenya, and recently Burundi. Also, we've seen just last week, in fact, coverage of a brutal killing. This is a really serious human rights issue, and a coordinated and focused approach is needed.
And the MP tells some terrible stories. Are they the kind of stories that you're hearing from other countries?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just unthinkable, really, to read these stories, to imagine what is happening in those countries. People are literally being hunted down, and it's as simple as that. Witch doctors, unfortunately, are hunting people down, as the lady said, for body parts, and selling them on in the mistaken belief that people can somehow become wealthy or become recover from illness through this pursuit. So it's really a hugely serious problem.
But from what she said, it sounded as though the authorities were powerless in the face of this threat. Is that the case?
Well, I believe that if we have a coordinated campaign, that, you know, an improvement can be achieved on this.
What sort of actions do you think need to be taken by the governments in these countries?
I think, firstly, a situational analysis, not just in Tanzania, but in other African countries. And we can start with Tanzania, given that it appears to be experiencing the most acute problem at the moment in terms of the albinism killings, to really find out what's currently happening, some real evidence and research in a very speedy and focused manner. We need to act now, not in 6 months' time. Really find out what's happening, find out who the perpetrators are. And I think, you know, the campaigning and sensitisation and awareness is absolutely crucial, but we also, another strand to this, we need to bear in mind is bringing those people to a point where they can be convicted.
Are people just getting away with it at the moment?
Well, I haven't read much coverage of people being actually tracked down and convicted and punished, and we need to hear about that also, because I think that sends out a powerful message.
It must have a terrible impact on the people with albinism who are living in these countries to be in fear of their lives. They must effectively have to live in hiding, some of them.
I think that's what we've heard from your previous report, and indeed from other newspaper reports and radio pieces. People literally are running scared and are running terrified, watching their back constantly. In some cases, people are actually afraid to go out. And in Tanzania, in some areas, the police are actually accompanying children with albinism to school. It really is that serious. So, you know, we've got enough evidence that there is a really acute problem here. What we need to do is bring together key national and international partners and demonstrate some coordinated effort towards raising positive public awareness and also campaigning, making sure that frontline health workers, people who are at the community level, actually understand the extent of those prejudices those misconceptions around albinism and really trying to set the record straight and raise positive awareness. And I think the appointment of an MP is a positive step, but that's only the beginning of a journey.
Is there a reason why this problem seems to be getting worse at the moment, or is it just that we're more aware of it?
That's an interesting question. I think the level of media interest in the issue has increased, that's for sure. But I also have a feeling that, unfortunately, the media coverage, to some extent, may even be driving the situation further forward. We may be seeing an upsurge as a result of a widespread knowledge that people's body parts can be sold on to witch doctors. So it really is a very, very difficult situation.
It was interesting that the MP pointed out that every time the president speaks out against this problem, somebody seems to go and kill somebody with albinism. I mean, that's a terrible spiral that goes on there, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I think coordinated national action from the government and then also from Pan-African alliances, which are involved in the disability human rights sector, we really need to see swift action on this.
Robin Spinks, Vice President of the UK Albinism Fellowship.